Welcome to the Dieter Mellhorn Fishing Podcast. Whether you like to fish, enjoy talking about fishing, or just enjoy the fishing lifestyle, this is the podcast for you. So go grab yourself a cold drink or a hot cup of coffee, sit back, start tying up some fishing rigs, and enjoy the show. Well, hello, folks, and welcome to the Dieter Mellhorn Fishing Podcast. I hope you're having a good day, whatever day it is that you happen to be listening to the podcast or watching it. I'm actually doing a video version of this one that I will be putting out on YouTube. So, whichever place you're out, thanks for stopping by. Today, we're going to talk about how to pick a fishing guide. Yes, I am a fishing guide. I'm a licensed captain, but this is not a sales pitch for me. This is basically some information on how to pick a guide, some things to look for. And I picked this up from actually my guide trips with clients when we're sitting there on the boat for hours at a time talking. I always ask people, what's your best guide trip experience and what's your worst? Hopefully mine does not end up being one of them, but I've heard some good stories, heard some good things, heard some bad things, and decided to kind of do one of these videos to kind of give you some pointers and some feedback. I myself have booked fishing guides before, so I've got some stuff I look for, and I can kind of give you guys some ideas on what's out there, what the options are, what to look for, pricing, tips, all that kind of stuff, and we'll kind of go over that real quickly. If you're watching this on YouTube, obviously you can leave comments down in the comments section, reach out to me there. There's a way to contact me down there in the description below. But if you're listening to the podcast on any of the major platforms out there, first of all, thanks for stopping by and listening. It's a little harder to give me feedback, so I suggest everybody go to my website, Dieter Mellhorn Fishing. On there, there's a contact section. You can send me an email, shoot me a text message. I love hearing from you guys. Get a lot of good ideas and information from you folks when you reach out to me, so I appreciate it. And there's also links to the fishing gear. People ask about what gear I use. There's links on the website and also stuff for my guide service. There's my shameless plug and all of this. So let's get back into picking a guide. The first thing you got to do is figure out what you're fishing for and where you're fishing for. I think that kind of goes without saying, but I say that because not all guides are created equal in what they fish for and where they fish. So, and I get this because a lot of people know me and choose me because I'm seen here on YouTube. They know me from YouTube. They know I fish for catfish, but more and more as this guide business has grown, I am getting more and more people that are picking me up just in Google searches and finding the website. So they don't always know exactly what I fish for. So I've had people reach out to me and go, hey, do you do bass fishing trips? And no, I really don't. I'll go fishing for striped bass, but I'm not a bass fisherman. I don't consider myself somebody that's going to go pursue those fish. So I don't, you know, sell myself as doing that. Do I do crappie fishing? Crappie fishing, if you're from the Carolinas, yes, I do. I don't really sell myself as that, but I've done a lot of trips. People have been happy with it, and it's fun during certain times of the year. Yes, I do some striper fishing also. Yes, I do some saltwater fishing, but I don't really sell myself as doing that. Some people don't care, and they just want to come fish wherever I'm fishing at, and that's cool. But for most people, you're looking for a specific thing. A lot of people come to this channel looking for catfish, obviously. So you kind of funnel your selection choices down to that. Then you're looking for something in the area you're going to. You got to pick out where you're going. And some of this seems kind of like logical, but I get a lot of people that request me to do a guide trip on a lake I don't regularly fish. While this would be fun, it would be fun to go out there and try to crack the code on the lake and figure out how to catch fish. I don't really know the lake. So, I've done a couple of those at the insistence of the people, and it's mainly because they lived on those lakes, those bodies of water, and kind of wanted some feedback and some input on the water. So I don't have a problem doing that, but if I was going somewhere, I would be looking for somebody that fishes that body of water regularly and has a pretty good feel. It's no guarantee you're going to catch fish. It never is, but it gives you a little more, you know, a little more security in knowing that you've got a really good shot at catching fish. Now, from there, you've got to find the person. Sometimes you can get references. I always suggest people call me. If you're going down to Santee Cooper, you're going down to Gunnersville or wherever, give me a buzz, shoot me a text, ask me if I know somebody there. A lot of times I'll know guys in these areas and can give you a reference. That's the best way to go. Most people that have fished with somebody, know somebody, will give you a pretty good reference on who the person is to go to. From there, you kind of have to get out the old internet and go doing some looking. And that's where it can get sketchy sometimes on what you get and what you come up with. Some people do an amazing job of selling themselves and marketing themselves and getting their name out there. And they're going to be the ones that's going to show up in the Google searches. That can be good. That can be bad. Depends on the guide themselves. And we'll get a little more into that here in a minute. Another thing you can look at there's a site that I'm actually on, decided to sign up on it, called Fishing Booker. And it's basically a nationwide website app. You can get the app on your phone that has guides on various different bodies of water around the country, saltwater, freshwater, all different species. And they basically, you'll put in the area you're trying to go to, maybe a particular lake, and they will pop up people who are from a particular area and you can look at them. The great thing about Fishing Booker is that they thoroughly vet everybody who is on the website. I'm a licensed captain. I have to provide my captain's license, my insurance, all that kind of stuff to make sure that the company does that, Fishing Booker does, to make sure that the people they're sending people out with are legit. And by the way, this is not a paid endorsement by Fishing Booker. No way have they any idea that I'm even talking about this. But it is a place that does a pretty good job of vetting the people that they are putting out there. So there's that option as one also. The other thing is social media. Social media has access to a lot of people. I follow some different fishing guides on there. My suggestion always is... a lot of us guys can get on there and all we show is the highlight film. It's hard to show pictures of a bad day. If you go out there and you get skunk, it's hard to take a picture of that. That's when you start seeing sunset shots and everything else, as we jokingly say. But on the opposite end of that, there are some guides that only show you the highlight reel. They only show you the table full of fish. They only show you the cooler full of fish. And I'm always skeptical of that, especially when there's big gaps in between all these catches. Here's the cold hard truth, guys. Fish don't bite all the time. No matter how good of a fisherman you are, how good of a guide you are, fish are not feeding and active all the time. Sometimes they may be active during a certain time period, but it may not be that time period when you're there. And that is just the way fishing goes. Even in my fun fishing, it happens. There are days you go out there and the fish just don't bite. You don't catch a lot of fish. So what I suggest you do is look at that stuff, take it with a grain of salt, and kind of use it as a bigger picture as to what kind of angler the person is. If they're honest with you, I'm usually pretty, I try to be straightforward with my, on my website with what's going on, or not so much on the website, but on the Facebook page and on, what goes on YouTube, and just kind of let people know, hey, it's on fire right now and we're killing them, or we're struggling. We're having, a hard time catching fish, and anybody that's fished with me can vouch for that. I've actually given people the opportunity to reschedule when we've gotten into some hideously slow bite times. That's not always the case. Honestly, a lot of people don't take me up on that. They're just happy to go fishing. But sometimes we as guys can kind of get a perspective that's a little bit skewed because we're out there so much fishing. We're so many days on the water. We know how great it can be. We know what bad looks like, and we can kind of get a skewed opinion where somebody, it's like the other day I had some folks that were just happy to catch some fish. So, it getting some feedback from the angler, the guide, is good. So you have realistic expectations of what to expect when you get out there. Now, another thing that social media can reveal to you is the personality of the guide. Sometimes what they put on social media, what they reveal, will tell you a little bit about them. Now, not all guides are on social media. As a matter of fact, some of them are totally just stay away from it. They don't like showing where they fish. They don't like what social media has done to fishing. So you're not going to find all of them on there, but some you do. And some give you a very good idea of what their personality is like. As we all know in life, we don't always get along with everybody. Some people can deal with somebody with a very just big, boastful personality. Some people want somebody that's maybe a little more subdued. And sometimes social media can give you a peek into that. I'll give you a good example of two people that basically did the same thing, are equally skilled in their ability, and they're 180 degrees to each other. There was a guy, Mark the Shark. He is a shark fishing guide. He also does a lot of other species down in Miami. He's big. He's boastful. He's loud. He's arrogant. He's bigger than life, long blonde hair, and he is what you would picture from somebody who shark fishes, and he kills sharks, and he proudly does it. No shame in his game when it comes to catching giant sharks and killing them and cutting them open. He's proud of that. People give him a lot of crap for it, but that is the way he is. And he stays booked and stays busy, and a lot of people like to be associated with that. They want to be a part of that show. On the other end of the spectrum is a guy named Chip Michaelove that is in Hilton Head, South Carolina. The man catches great white sharks, 1,500 to 2,000 pounds, 3,000 pounds, massive sharks. He doesn't kill any of them. Gets them to the side of the boat, get some great pictures. Very much conservation oriented in what he does. He wants to make sure that sharks are a sustainable resource that people can catch, photograph, and release for years to come. Basically, two different guys, two different takes on catching the same species, both doing it perfectly legal, by the way. But they're two different personalities, and sometimes those personalities are revealed. You can see that in what Chip Michaelove puts out with his social media. Outcast Charters is the name of his fishing charter down there in Hilton Head, South Carolina. And Mark the Shark, you can't, that one's pretty easy to remember, who's in Miami. Two guys doing two totally different things, two totally different personalities that may or may not sync up with you. So that's one of the great things about social media. You can get a feel for that. Now, another thing to look into is pricing. Pricing is going to vary. There is no standard when it comes to pricing, and I'm talking from freshwater to saltwater. The rates run the gamut as far as what you're going to see. A lot of it is dictated by the style of fishing. Obviously, if you're running offshore in saltwater, you burn up hundreds of dollars in fuel to get out and back. So those type of fishing trips are going to cost considerably more than somebody that's going to be doing something inshore, up in a creek or something like that in saltwater. Same thing with fishing in freshwater. If you are fishing somewhere where you have to make extremely long runs to get to fish, to get on them, you're going to be burning a lot more gas. These people generally are going to charge more money. Another thing is demand, supply and demand. There are some areas where the demand for charter captains is higher. There are not a lot of them. There may not be a lot of full-time ones. There may be a lot of guys that are just doing it on the weekends. So people that are on vacation are looking for somebody during the week while they're there. Generally speaking, those areas are going to charge a little bit more than someone who is maybe a guy doing it on the side. That's a side hustle. He can get by with charging less money because he doesn't have to make a living doing that. So there's a lot of variables there in the price. Best thing to do is take a look around. Sadly, price is not a good way to pick whether you're getting a good charter or a bad charter. It's just an indication of kind of where the price range is. Some guys that are very inexpensive are very good and will put you on fish. The opposite is also true. There are some very expensive people that are pricey just because of their name or how long they've been in the business, or they're just the only game in town and they can charge what they want to. So pricing is going to vary. It's going to be all over the place. I would not use that as an indicator as far as what you're going to get for that amount of money. Another thing I suggest, if you can get the captain on the boat for 10 minutes, I think you can get a good feel whether there's going to be a good emotional connection to this person and you're going to enjoy the trip. Generally speaking, getting a hold of any fishing guide is going to be easier in the afternoon or evening. That's usually when you're going to hear back from them, even if you shoot them a text message, myself included. That's generally when we're done with the day, we're relaxing, scrolling through the phone, seeing who we have messages from. If you call them, make it brief, make it quick. Don't get into a whole lot of details about a whole lot of stuff. You can get a pretty good feel of, hey, I'm interested in doing this. What do you suggest? And, you know, when should we go? What month should we be looking at? And let it go with that. That usually gives you a good indication of how they are, how personable they are, how they are to deal with, and how their personality is. And, you know, it's when you get at the end of the day, you have 8 or 10 of these calls and stuff from people, voice message, text message. You don't have 45 minutes to talk about fishing and go into a lot of detail on every little nuance of it. So, you know, expect if you can get them on the phone for 5 minutes, is a very good indicator of just who they are, whether they're going to be compatible with you, and whether or not you're going to be compatible with them. Now, one other thing that I'm going to talk about that is of interest to people, both charter captains and people who are booking charter trips, is tips. It always comes up. I see it in fishing groups and stuff like that. And yes, in the fishing industry, tipping is something that has been around. For most captains, myself included, it's not expected. We basically do our pricing, and that's what we need to make on a trip to be profitable. Now, for some people, some of the offshore boats, a lot of times they have mates on those boats that are working for tips alone. Usually they are very clear in this in the booking process. The bottom line with tips is it's not expected for most people, but it's greatly appreciated when it happens. The hardest part about tipping is there is no set standard. It is not like when you go to a restaurant and, you know, you can look up and go, 15% is the, you know, normal gratuity eating in a restaurant. There's no real set standard in the fishing world. And, you know, depending on what kind of charter trip you're on, and, you know, 15% may be extremely high, it could be extremely low. I've seen tips anywhere from $20 to several hundred dollars that was totally shocking and overwhelming, and I actually question whether or not they gave me too much money. It runs the gamut as far as just where it's at. My suggestion is go with your gut on it. Go with what works for you. Again, most of us price our trips to make money and be profitable at where they're at. But if you feel exceptionally moved, inspired by whatever service you got during that trip, if you decide to tip, it's greatly appreciated. We notice it and we thank you for it. Now, all of this information, I think the biggest thing is picking somebody that you feel like you can have a decent connection with on the boat. Because let's face it, you're out there generally for a long time. Sure, there's some people who do some very short two-hour trips where you can basically get out of it pretty quickly. But when you're out there for 4, 6, 8, 10 hours, being able to tolerate the person you're with is very, very important. And it makes the trip a lot more fun. I know I ask people on guide trips all the time, what's the worst horror story that you've had? And outside of, you know, some mechanical failures or a guide not showing up, forgetting about the charter. The one I've heard a couple times is that the captains were just very quiet, didn't talk a lot, and didn't say too much. Now, in some places, if you go to Costa Rica or someplace like that, you may have people that do not speak the same language as you, and there may be very little communication outside of fishing communication as far as what to do. But for most of us, we're talking and chatting it up most of the time out there, just trying to, you know, like you would hanging out with some friends. And that's what I look at most of the people who go fishing with me. They're friends. I enjoy taking them out, enjoy fishing. Sometimes we kill them, sometimes we don't, but we have a good time in the process and try to educate them as we go. My fishing trips are basically an online seminar. And that may be something you look at when picking a guide, is trying to find somebody that will teach you and educate you while you were out there. I think that is one of the most important things while on the water with somebody, is giving them a personal one-on-one fishing seminar, something you could never do in an auditorium or a meeting room at a Bass Pro Shop or Cabela's, that on-the-water experience where they actually see it applied, see it used, is very, very important, very beneficial. And for a lot of people that have fished with me, they say that was worth the money as much as catching the fish. Well, guys, hopefully this gives you some good information, some stuff to think about when you pick your next guide on a fishing trip. So until next time, we'll catch you out on the water.